We are in the section called Ki Tetzeh. And we know the section talk about Ki Tetzeh. Ki means it's a condition words. Ki, if you will go to war on your enemy. Of course, I mean, already we discussed it so many times. What is your enemy? If you're looking from the pshat, meaning from the simple explanation, we talk about regular war. And the commentary talk about the war, that you have to go sometimes, what is a war when two people or two sides or two countries disagree with the border or disagree without the money need to share or disagree about the certain custom, they go to war. What is the purpose of the war? It's either to reach from your border to make it larger, whatever you think. Everybody think the justice is with them, so they go to war. When we talk about the Israelite at that time, it was against the law of the Israelite to go to war or to kill. So it was forbidden for anybody to kill. So how come it was a war that been commanded by Moses, that commanded by God? So the explanation of, again, the simple explanation, it's called war of mitzvah, meaning that when you have to go to that war, the people that you have to send have to be righteous, have to be completely spiritual people. They cannot just be a warrior. Warrior is a second degree. The first degree, they have to be first righteous. And the reason I'm telling you that, because if you look at the next section, and you have a capture, and within the capture, Veraita b'shiva isha yefa toar, you're going to see a beautiful woman, and you want her and desire her, and you should take her to be your wife. So then when you bring her home, she need to shave her head, make her nails, and remove the old clothing that she was wearing. And then she sit in your house and cry the loss of her parents because they die in a war for 30 days. And then you can go to her after 30 days and make love to her and she will become your wife. If you don't think of that as weird section, I don't want to say maybe you are weird. It's not nice to say it, but it's weird not to think that's weird. I mean, this whole section. For that reason, there is something called Kabbalah. And Kabbalah is digging in to what Moses and God meant when they put it together. What is going on here? And then take us to a different level. Ki tetzeh milchama, tell us the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Mekubalim, Rabbi Chaim Vital, the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon. When you go to war, what is the war? The war on your inner problem. We all have issues. Those of you who don't know that you have issues, that's an issue by itself. Everybody's issue. You know, sometimes when you criticize a person and they get shocked, you criticize them. You ever met a person that never been criticized? Did you ever met a person like that, never been criticized before? What a nightmare. What a nightmare never to be criticized. Did you ever meet a person who doesn't know, or she or he doesn't know that the criticism? What do you think about criticism? Is it a bad or good thing? And it's a funny thing. This Saturday, my children asking me a lot of questions. Those of you who don't know, in my previous job, you know, I was serving pretty well. It's called Shibush Talmidei Chachamim. And they give me the okay to share some story, right? And I was serving rabbi, you know, rabbi, everybody, whoever is familiar, his name is the Rav. And I was very close to the Rav. When I say very close, I'm talking about physically close and spiritually close. Very, very, very close on all details and all decision making. And you know, I met many teachers in my life that shaped my way, and he's one of the major one who shaped my way in the way of Kabbalah and in the way of business as well. And I remember that, you know, in my previous job, a lot of things was wrong. You know, a lot of things didn't work out to be what it's supposed to be. And people were not happy. Really, really angry. Really, really upset about everything that's going on. And I remember at one time, you know, because when the Rav wants somebody to make food, you always say, where is Eliyahu? If the Rav wants somebody to ask him what's going on here, where is Eliyahu? The Rav used to ask me personal, very personal stuff, and to be also a personal friend, not just a student. So one of the things that happened, this gentleman, it was in New York City, and I was brought to New York to basically raise money, bring some people, and build a building that still exists till today. And I found the building with one of my students, his name is Beir. So one student complained and started screaming at everybody that was there that they are Nazi. And one of the things that I learned from the Rav is, you know, to have mercy, even if you're not in the mood to have mercy. Unfortunately, that method of the Rav didn't continue. That's make me really, really sad. Really, really sad that I saw when the Rav gets sick, that method of really having mercy for another human being didn't last. After 2004, it was no longer mercy. One of the reasons that Debbie and me went on our own to continue some of that mercy and share it with other people. So what happened? So I'm coming to pray with the Rav, and he called me to whisper something in my ears, say, what's going on? Rav, you got to pray. There is another meeting you got to go to. He said, I'm not praying. I'm laughing. So what happened? Well, you don't want to pray. And he looked at me and said to me, well, I heard that there is a gentleman screaming Nazi at everybody. I said, yes, he's one of my students. I'm going to take care of it later. I said, no. He used to pray here with you and me every morning. And today he doesn't pray. Say, I know, Rav, I know. Say, I'm not going to start praying until you go ahead and call him. Now, I don't know if you know Manhattan, 48th Street, some people live in Upper East Side. So I have to go all the way, and I don't have a car that day. So I'm walking, trying to imagine. Now, the person is suffering from all kind of mental and depression, but I have to bring him. You know me, I'm the best servant you can find. You know, you tell me to do something, I'm going. So I'm going, and somehow I get into the apartment building. Not easy to do it in Manhattan, I should say, sneak in, and go all the way to his apartment, knock on his door. He's in bed, depressed, and he opening the door. First, he was impressed I came. So first, don't give me credit. I'm not the one with the idea. Tell my teacher, you know, the Rav, send me here because he doesn't want to pray without you. Even he know what you scream at people, that they're all Nazi and all this. He said, no, not pray with them. So, can you please come? And I know you don't want to come, but please come so I can be okay. And so, of course, oh, you come with me. We're praying. Everything's beautiful. So now we're making a small feast, bagels. And those of you who know New York, it's very easy to get bagel and lox and everything. So the Rav told me, he looked at him and said to him, this Eliyahu is, when it's come to food and serving, there's nobody like him. When he serves you, you feel like you're in heaven. Because I used to serve the Rav a special tea for special occasions, special coffee, special occasions, special bagel, for the specific thing. The Rav looked at me and said, can you make this gentleman exactly the same food you did for me? The same thing. I said, the same. No problem. And everybody looking jealous, angry. Everybody come to me with anger. How you let this person sit here? And how you let... I said, guys, please. It's between me and the Rav. We're talking about it. Why don't you leave the room and let us take care of business here? So I'm sitting there. Rav, me, gentleman. And the Rav looked at him and said to him, I heard you have a lot of complaint about what's going on here. Please tell me. And the person scream and yell and all this and that. I'm getting shocked. Then the Rav asked him, there is one good thing that you find about me, or one good things you find about Eliyahu, or one good things you find about anything. And he say no. At that point, my teacher, the Rav at that time, started laughing. And the Rav took me upstairs with him. We're walking together. I said, Rav, why are you laughing? What's so funny? He said, Eliyahu, it's very normal. I mean, you know us. We do a lot of mistakes. We're doing a terrible mistake we shouldn't be doing, purposely or not purposely. And this guy maybe is a messenger to correct us. But if he doesn't find one good thing about us, something is off. Why am I sharing with you this story? And why in this week portion? to understand the concept. And I'm sure some of you are waiting for me to even share one story about the Rav that I didn't share for 4 years. And those of you who know me close, I was one of the closest people to him. So I know a lot of his secret. And when my children, that was the sign for me, asked me some question, and I shared with them, and they were shocked. They didn't know even 10% of the thing that I used to do. So I decided, with them okay with that, to share it with you too. To those of you who know secret, and more you ask me, I will tell you a lot of secret, a lot of knowledge that I can share with you that can be helpful for all of you. So, what is the lesson here? Bad things happen, needed to happen, because the evil inclination is there. So when the evil inclination is there, it's going to make everybody doing wrongdoing purposely and the wrongdoing by mistake. Those will be the two things. When you go to war with your inner wrongdoing, it's a tough war because the blaming is no longer exist. You can't blame anybody when you're looking inside. You can't say, you look at your shadow and you say, this shadow need to lose weight. You can't say it. You know that's your shadow. Would you say that shadow belong to somebody else? No, it's a shadow. Who are you going to blame? What are you going to say? It's a shadow. I'm looking good. The shadow is the problem. I look at the mirror. I don't like the way I look. What's wrong in the mirror? No, it's me. You're an idiot if you look at the mirror as the fault. You're an idiot if you look at the shadow as the fault. If you decide to go on a war, if you decide, what do you mean if? Why if? Because most people don't want to go to war with the inner self. Everybody want to go to war with everything else around them. But nobody wants to go to war internally. That's what kids tell them. Are you one of those righteous people willing to go to war internally? Are you one of those people willing to go to war with the real enemy? No, if you're not, then forget about the whole thing. Most people, include religious and spiritual, don't even look inside. If you are afraid of listening to a negative information about you, maybe, just maybe, there is no positivity in you. No positivity. But if you're so positive, what would be a big deal if somebody tell you something negative? Why are you getting so sensitive? Why are you getting so upset? But somebody have even a doubt that they don't have negativity internally? I have negativity. You have. We all have negativity. We came with this negativity to this universe. We came to correct it. We came to improve. We came to get better. Don't be upset if somebody tell you you're jealous. You envy others, or you anger issue, or I don't know what else, you have an addiction. Whatever people tell you, don't get upset. It's a message. How to fight my inner evil inclination. So, if you go to a war, if you make a conscious decision to go to the real war, which is internally, now when is this parasha? When is this portion need to be read? Always few weeks before the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. What's happening in Rosh Hashanah? What exactly Rosh Hashanah is about? Is it just a Jewish holiday or the Happy New Year? Those of you who study just a little bit, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh mean head, Shana mean the ear. We call it Rosh Hashanah, of a female ear. That's really the translation. And what does that mean? We know that there is 7 sfirot, and the 7th sfira is Malchut. Malchut is Nekeva, is Nukva, is the female energy. And because it's the female energy, it's the head of the female energy, telling us what? Telling you that all the judgment of a human being, for the, all what he did before that, coming to that moment, is being present itself in front of his soul, in front of the Creator, in front of his negative angel, and in front of his positive angel. And everyone in that group have to make decision, what are we doing for next year better? So Ki Tetzeh is coming to you to tell you, hey, listen, do you want next year to be the same, or you want it to be better? I think we all agree 2020 was heavy. Very heavy. I think, I don't know about you, most people went through a tough time. Some people die. Some people get sick. Some people lost their business. There's a problem out there. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a decision, not just about your money, about everything. Are you going to take it lightly? Are you going to take it like, hey, it's a nice situation? No, it's a very serious thing. So when you start the war today, you go to war. How do you go to war? You're making a list. What is about me which need to be improved? Don't hate yourself because of that. If you cannot hear criticism about yourself and be happy, don't do that. But you have to be ready one day. I remember, I have a gentleman who hired me. He paid a good amount of money. And he hired me to make his life and his business better. So I work with him first, you know, to analyze him, to understand him better. What I call evaluation. And I realize what the problem is, where he's stuck, and I'm here to help him. So I start talking to him, and he say, no, I'm good. I say, I think you have a little social issue. No, I'm good. I think with business you got to improve. No, I'm good. So I'm looking at him and I'm saying, what am I supposed to do? The guy pay me. I have to be honest and fair to give him the right service. So I said, listen, mister, you pay money for my service to, I'm a consulting, I'm an advisor. I'm supposed to advise you how to get better. And whatever I tell you, it's I'm meeting a wall. One of them say, no, keep going, I like it. So you say, I like it, but when I say it, nothing going on. I like it. What do we learn from that? Recognize your evil inclination. Recognize it. Look at it. Make fun of yourself sometimes. It's very healthy. This is who you are. That's your weakness. That's your strength. That's what you're good at. That's what you're not so good at. It's okay. Not the problem. It's okay. It's okay. And when you recognize it, you change. I saw my son, my older son, and I'm very proud of him. So he get a coach for sport because we are in the COVID here. They get a coach online. Every time we hear like almost the house is about to break, we know he's jumping and I don't know what he's doing. So I talked to him, I said to him, son, you can save some money doing it on your own. And he answered, but I have a weakness. So what's your weakness? He said, I cannot do it on my own. I need somebody to push me. You know, I said to him, can I pay for it? He said, no, I have to do it myself. And it touched me. You know, it touched me that he recognized that there is a weakness inside of him. That by itself, for me, it's an achievement in life. If you start to understand there is area in your life that need to be improved, this means you're ready to go to war. You're ready to go to war. Okay, so that's part you understand. Now, when you are go to war and you want to overcome your evil inclination, how is that feel? That you recognize the source of energy that created you, and that source of energy that created you love you unconditionally. And that's the Creator. When you get to that feeling, you know you're doing well. So how can you do negativity? How can you steal? How can you kill? How can you get angry? When you know that that source that created you only give you love. How do you develop even a hate in you? Cannot be, right? Because you connect to that source. Continue with the next verse. And you should see a beautiful woman and you capture her. Who is this beautiful woman? Tell us the Zohar, tell us the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Vital. This is your neshama, this is your soul. This beautiful woman you see, it's not a beautiful woman. You're looking at your soul. Veraita Isha. What does it mean she was captured? She was captured, that woman or that soul, she was captured by negative forces, by the klipot. Because when you behave in the wrong way and you do the wrong doing, what happened to you? your soul being captured by the dark side. Then your free will is going down and down and down until you no longer have a free will. To have your free will back again, you have to stop doing the negativity. One of the most difficult things to do for a person, everybody is easy for them to be spiritual, to do good things. But is everybody in spirituality also know how to prevent themselves from doing a bad thing? Think about it. I mean, I want to repeat it again. In Kabbalah, there is two types of behavior. One behavior is teaching you how to do good. Second behavior, how to prevent yourself from doing bad. In most spiritual knowledge, it's all about how to do wonderful. Let's meditate. Let's love. Let's share. All wonderful things. But what is the list of the not doing? You know how many not doing there is in Kabbalah? 365. You know how many motivational doing there is in Kabbalah? 248. Why less positive? Because everybody is excited about the good thing. But when I tell you, you can do this, you can do it. When I'm going on a diet, I hate when people tell me, don't eat this, don't. Tell me what I can eat. Let me focus on positive, because it's more exciting. When you hear the no, you get angry. So, the beautiful woman, meeting your soul being captured by the negative force, because the whole year, we are doing nonsense. Every time you sin, every time you do the wrongdoing. When I say sin, sin can be in your mind, in your words, and in your action. So you have to remember, sin can happen in three levels. In your mind, let's say, one of the most dangerous things is when you are creating babies, when a man creating a baby, and the man think about another woman while he make love to his wife while he creating a baby. That's only the mind. He didn't sin, he didn't cheat, he cheated only with his mind. The children that born from that act will have a problem with their soul. It's called Yaldet Bura, replacement children. That's what the Zohar explained. So for example, that's a sin you can do with your mind. A sin you can do with your talk when you speak behind somebody's back. Not nice about them. A sin that you can do with your action is like stealing or killing, God forbid. So, sin can be in three levels. And then the soul being captured by the dark side. So that means when you go to war on your enemy, meaning the evil inclination, who stole your soul from you and you bring it back. You have to bring it back to your house. She's doing her nails, she's doing her hair salon in your house. Why is that? Because this is the only thing that keeps growing in our body. You need to remember, Adam and Eve's body was immortal. It keeps growing. Everything looked like nails. You cut it and it grow. You cut the finger grow right away. The whole body was immortal. We lost that gift after the sin, after our soul captured by the snake, by the serpent. But before that, everything was amazing. It was never end to anything. Everything continued. For that reason, in our universe today, we're afraid of an end. Everybody is afraid of end. E-N-D. Afraid of end of money, end of life, end of relationship, end of something. Everybody is afraid. End. 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 But that fear of end is coming to us from the original sin from Adam and Eve. So, it continued. And the Torah is telling us, if you, right after that section, it's saying like that, after you take the woman, it says something very weird. You tell me. Ki tiyena le'ish ten nashim. A man has two wives. Achat ahuva ve'achat tznua. Another story from the Rav. I was with the Rav in Toronto one time. He told me, Eliyahu, that was, again, I can reveal those secrets now. So he whispered into my ears and said to me, why would somebody marry somebody he hate? He has a very good sense of humor. You know, achat ahuva ve'achat tznua. A husband has two wives. One he love and one he hate. And they give birth children. And the firstborn will be to the woman that he hate. Even he born to the woman that he hate, he should give him double the amount of money from what what he give to the other children. Doesn't matter if he come from the wife he doesn't like. But then look at that section in verse 18. Ki yeh le'ish ben sorer u'more. Once a person give birth to a child, which is a very bad kid, meaning somebody who destroyed the parents, destroyed their money, destroyed their life, destroyed everything. A bad kid. Why we have to mention that bad kid next to the marriage? Tell us the Zohar, when a man doesn't love his wife and they make children, God will send them a kid with problem. Why is that? Because if you look at the union that creates children, that union has to be unity for the product to be okay. But if the product, the woman not feel loved by the husband feel he doesn't love the wife, and they doing sex, and the sex, sperm and eggs usually give birth to children, that child will have an issue. Now, what it's saying here? V'yisru oto ve'lo yishma alem. And they give him a hard time, he still doesn't listen to them. And then they take it to the city, and they say that, and everybody have to stone him to death. That kind of punishment. It's a scary story going on. Scary story. So to understand that, in a deeper level, who is this son? Who is this child that he misbehaved? Would it say he doesn't want to listen to his father and mother? Ever happened to you that you stopped listening? You were very disappointed from whatever spirituality you belong to, and you had enough time with guru, and you have enough time with people telling you what's right, what's wrong. You had just enough. And it say about the child like this, Enenu shomea bekol aviv ubekol imo. It say he doesn't listen to the voice of his father, and he doesn't listen to the voice of his mother. It can't be the father and the mother. So the section is about us. In a day that we come into places like that, that we're no longer listening. We don't have the capability to listen. The universe is talking to us. Father, Chokhmah, Mother, Bina talking to us. We can listen. Father relate to the eyes. We can't see. Ima, Mother relate to the ears. You can't hear. The person is blocked. Block. There's nothing going on there. When a person gets to these places, especially before Rosh Hashanah, what does that mean? That means your desire is too small. If you cannot take criticism, then you're not ready for nothing. I don't care how much money you have and how famous you are, you're not ready for nothing. And I remember one of the things, again, more story about the Rav. So the Rav used to show me his all about this personal life. She used to show me about everything about this personal life from A to Z. He used to tell me, I wish I could do more, but I can't. And the reason I can't do more, and use the word, O shelo kedai, O shelo tzarich. Maybe either it's unnecessary or either you shouldn't say it. And he showed me a section from the Talmud that say, like it's mitzvah to say, it's also mitzvah not to say if the person don't hear. What do we learn from that? If you get to a place that you're no longer capable to listen to instruction of a mentor, of a teacher, of something. Because everybody I see, I'm looking around this generation, and I'm looking in the COVID-19 time, like what people are going through since December, or since March, if you want. And I find a disease that exists in our generation. And I'm really glad that all of you are listening to this lecture. I hope you're listening because you want to change, not just because I speak so well. I'm not considering myself as a speaker. I'm considering myself a teacher. Big difference. If a person is no longer capable of listening or seeing what the teacher really wants to tell them, there is no chance for that person to change. This is the ben sorer v'moreh. That's what it means, a bad child. A bad child doesn't mean what the Torah says about bad child. It's talking about more the concept of us not have the capability to grow. What if you're about to invest $5 million and a day before you invest $5 million on Monday, you are on Sunday on the beach and you enjoy a good watermelon. You eat the watermelon. A random person look crazy walking by you eating the watermelon and look at you and say, here is the idiot who doesn't even know how to invest a dollar. Here is the idiot who doesn't know what he's doing with his money. And then he go away. Would you get reactive? Would you get angry? Or you would say, excuse me, sir, why don't you sit with me? I want to give you a watermelon because I want to hear what you say. We don't. Because we take criticism as negative. We don't take criticism as, wow, everybody have a name for it, positive criticism. You heard about that word? Now when it's positive criticism, so everybody's politely come to you, can I give you a feedback? Can I give you a positive criticism? What's with that? Well, we try to be noble, we try to be nice and gentlemen and ladies and kind and manners. If you cannot take a criticism as a message, then you not hear the messenger. The other day, my friend Michael happened to be here in LA, and the day that he arrived to LA, we're sitting outside, social distancing kind of thing. As we see the first coffee, we call it. As we see the first coffee, a falcon fly by. Falcon. As close as I can see a falcon. Never say that close. Ah, yafe, yafe. I said, very nice. Is the falcon give me a message? Yes, the falcon give me a message. The birds give me a message. Of course. Dog give me a message. Cat, branches, stone, everything give us message. Why not human being? Why? Why not human being? It's a message. Can the wrong human being give you a message? Of course. Crazy person, according to the Talmud. Crazy and drunk and a kid. Those are the three major messenger. So ben sorer v'moreh, enenu shomea. He doesn't listen to his mother. And he doesn't listen to the voice of his father. What does that mean? You can listen. You don't want to hear. You're coming to Rosh Hashanah. God keeps sending you a messenger. And telling you what's wrong with you. Today somebody asked me a question. I had ego. I was so ashamed of myself. Somebody asked me about a certain question. And he's somebody I respect very much as the most knowledgeable person. But he forget one piece of information. So he asked me, Eliyahu, what do you think about this thing? Do you think this is the right way or this is the right way? For me, I had ego that he asking me because I think of him more knowledgeable than me. And I said, by the way, I felt like, I felt the ego start dancing in my stomach. And then I said, oh, what kind of small desire you have, Eliyahu? Shame on you. Shame on you. You get excited from one question or compliment that somebody gave you? That's what you want in life? Every change that we are doing is to grow our desire. You can't stay where you are. You have to want more. But to want more, somebody has to point it out to you where you think it's more. Yes, where you think it's more. And if you keep thinking small, nobody will come to tell you what's wrong with you. Because for thinking small, it's perfect. But if you, the day you decide to think big, I'm telling you, they're going to stop knocking on your door to tell you what's wrong with you. They're going to point the finger to you. I'll tell you what happened to me Friday. Friday, we were too tired. We went to sleep earlier. Earlier means 10. Went to sleep earlier at 10 p.m. When I say we, everybody. So we have a dog. Terrier, or whatever, the old name, Jack Russell Terrier, okay, the old name. So they're very awake and aggressive. And the dog start barking. Women usually wake up faster than a man. My wife is jumping from bed. I'm like, memory from my army time, you know, when I was infantry, so they teach us how to be ready for a war in 7 minutes. But you forget about it. That happened when you were 18. So I wake up a little slow. And then, but once you realize there's dangers, barking, somebody knocking the window of my daughter. And I have no idea what's going on. I'm going out, opening the door like I'm brave. I show the dog there is nobody there, but the dog is still suspicious, making some noise. I'm coming back home. 20 minutes, I'm trying to fall asleep. As I'm falling asleep, it happened again. No, we jump again from bed. We're going downstairs chasing the enemy that it's not there. The dog is angry. We are confused. I look at Debbie. I said, what's the message here? It's got to be a message. Somebody tried to wake me up. Maybe I don't do enough. Somebody tried to wake me up. Maybe I'm not appreciate something. Right away, it's a message. It's a message for me. The next morning, we're doing, those of you who know, we do like we're going to do Rosh Hashanah the same way. We do Saturday morning in the street. We read the Torah, and people are coming to hear the Torah. It's a nice setting. It's hot now, but it's still a nice setting. Then, there is a gentleman who want to donate the food for Saturday morning. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. So he was knocking on our window and door everywhere to remind us not to burn that food that is donated, because he put it here. He wants us to do it in a certain way. And my wife looked at me and said, it was him. We tried to hear a message of what is God want from us. But you think, when you take that wrong knock on the door as a message, you think it's going away? It's not going away. Energy never go away. Meaning, your investment of wanting to know, you already create a vessel, you create a desire, you create a container that can be fulfilled with all the information you need. Right away, information starts flowing with all the knowledge we need. Immediately. Phone call from everywhere with messages. Why? Because when you wanted to know, Shomea bekol aviv ubekol imo, you are now listening to the voice of your father and your mother. Voice of your father is Kucha Barihu, Yud Kevavke, Tach Gametem, God. Mother, Shechina, the wife of God. You got to be always ready, guys. Don't be afraid if somebody tell you what's wrong. You know, don't be afraid. You can agree or disagree. It's okay. It's okay to disagree with them. You don't have to agree all the time. But listen first. Listen. Second thing after you listen, say, okay, God sent that person to me to say something. I totally disagree, but what's the message with what they say to me? What's the message? It's got to be a message. So what is the enemy we're fighting? We say evil inclination. What is this weak portion, says the biggest enemy of a human being? It's called the nation of Amalek. The nation of Amalek, according to all Mekubalim, according to all the Kabbalists, represent the evil inclination, represent your doubting the Creator, represent that you are called about your spiritual journey. Now, what does that mean? The Pasuk, the verse say like that. I'm sorry for this delay. But I saw something on the way, and when you see something on the way, you say, wow, I can share that too. It's also a secret. It's like this. You should remember what Amalek did to you after you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. Karcha. Tell us Rashi, the commentary. Leshon mikre. Leshon mikre. Meaning it happened as a coincidence. When you start to look at life, as coincidence, I'm successful as random. My love life is random. My health is random. When you're falling into the randomness of life, can I say randomness in English? When you fall into the randomness of life or the oblivious of life, and you're not aware that everything is cause and effect, you fall into the evil inclination called Amalek. Amalek starts by you doubting that everything has a cause and effect. Amalek means that you're doubting that there is a higher force, and what will be the result? Very good. You start doubting yourself. You no longer trust yourself. That's the result. So if you feel you don't trust yourself, that's when you don't trust the force that created you. If you feel you don't trust yourself, that means you're doubting the force that's creating everything around you, the creator, the divine. So to correct that before Rosh Hashanah, you have to get to a point where you absolutely have certainty in the creator. How do you get there? Can you get there in a second? No, said Rav Ashlag. Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag used to do that. And I'm following what he did. He said, every time you do a spiritual action, you're allowed to ask from the creator, dear creator, I'm about to do spiritual action, I'm about to give charity. By me giving charity, I want to make sure that the energy of that charity will make me to believe in you more, will make me have certainty in you more. In every action of spirituality, you have to, and you're allowed to ask for it. And again, without doing that, you will fall into a place of uncertainty. You think if somebody gets sick as a coincidence, somebody dies as a coincidence, if somebody lost money as a coincidence, if somebody gained money, somebody become rich as a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. We can't see it. We can't. We only use 5 senses to see everything. To see, to hear, but it's limited. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not giving you the whole picture. The whole picture, you have to be out of the framework of where you are to see it. Like an helicopter will see the highway in a very different way when a driver sees the highway. You see as far as 20 cars ahead. Helicopter will see the whole highway. So the helicopter can tell you turn right or left. It's a higher level of consciousness, my friend. That's what we're talking about. Amalek limited you. Amalek make you think smaller. This is conscious of thinking small. Some people enjoy thinking small. They think it's kind of noble, it's a nice thing, don't be too greedy. Not true, but that's not the original way of creation. The creator who created you want to give you everything. Shame on you if you think small. It's like I'm inviting you to my house and I cook and bake for you and you say, I'm sorry, I already ate. It's an insult to ask for too small things. It's evil to ask for too little. Ask for everything. You deserve it. Because the one who created you want to give it to you. What, you're afraid to get rejected? You're afraid you're not going to get the money you want? You're afraid you're not going to get the love you want? Is that why you stop asking? Shame on you. That's why you're doubting the force. You're doubting the force, things will not work good for you. You want to change something before Rosh Hashanah? You do? You do? And if you do, you better increase your level of desire. But there is a force out there who want to give you more. And you know who's limited it? You. Not the creator. The reason you saw me stop before, there is a section that I study for the whole year already. And I skip over that. I'm admitting. I skip over that because I was busy with the Truth Tikkuni HaZohar. It's in chapter 22 in verse 6. So it might sound like it's not part of the lecture, and I'm sorry for that. And it says, Ki kare ken tzipor lefanecha. And I have to tell you, I'm teaching it in Tikkuni Azor for such a long time. I'm teaching it to my kids. And Tikkuni Azor in the Akdama, and in Tikkun 6, those of you who really want to know which section of Tikkuni Azor, talk about it a lot. And it's a weird mitzvah. The mitzvah said, if you're going to find a nest of the bird or bird nest, and you find either chicks or eggs, and the mother is dwelling on the chicks or on the egg, you're not allowed to take the mother. Then it say, "Shalachta shalachtaim." You should send the mother away, and the boys you should take for you, and that will promise you that you live a long life. Now that creates a lot of doubts. You agree? I mean, that concept, that spiritual action to push the birds away, doesn't make any sense. But if I never knew it before I studied Tikkuni Azor, I didn't even been aware that one time he say chicks, one time he say eggs, and one time he say banim, sons. Tell us, Tikkuni Azor, there is three levels to people. The eggs, it's something in potential. He call it Ma'are Torah, Ma'are Mikra. Tell us the Tikkuni Azor, Ma'are Mikra. And I will read to you from Tikkuni Azor. Betzim, Ma'are Mikra. They only study the Bible as it is, just the story of the Bible. That's just eggs. Just eggs. Chicks, Ma'are Mishnah. It's people who study the Torah with commentary, with Talmud and more of this. Banim, when it says sons, Ma'are Kabbalah. People who study Kabbalah, that's different. So why it say on? It say like this, that you should not take the mother. You cannot take the mother away from the boys. Who is the mother? The mother is the protection shield and all the nourishment and all the fulfillment. It's called the Shekhinah that you will receive for your entire life. When a person study Tikkuni Azor, Zohar and Kabbalah, this is the cure. What do you think? You're going to sit at home and try to change? What do you think? It's like going to the gym. I'm going to remove jealousy. I'm going to remove hatred. I'm going to love my neighbor more. Really? Is that helping you? Since when? Trying to change you. This is serious business. You cannot change the mind way of thinking. You can stop and suppress it like a beach ball. You know what happened to beach ball when I push it under the ocean? It lasted for a certain amount of time and then it come out. Nothing will last. Stop suppressing things and stop changing. But you can't change. You need to put a certain ingredient into your soul to change. What do you think? You can defeat Amalek? You can fight your Amalek, your doubts? You can't. You think you can fight your evil inclination? You can't. But when a person starts study, specifically this type of wisdom, those of you who want to study something good, it's very complicated. There is something called Tikkuni Azor in English on our site. I promise you, you may understand 10% of it. Maybe. But just by listening to the words, listening to me teaching it, that by itself starts to clean you and to prepare you to have a bigger desire, and through that, you will receive. When I created Tikkuni Azor in English, I knew nobody will even listen to it or understand it. So my wife said, "Wait, what's the purpose of it? There is no practical." I said, "There is no practical purpose." I said, "This is the core of what we're doing." I said, "How?" She asked, "How can that be a core that nobody even relate to?" I said, "That's what the core looked like. Did you ever look at the roots? Did you ever look at the seed? Nobody see the seed. Nobody see the roots. Nobody give a credit to their seed or the roots. But that's the roots of everything we're doing. You want to know our secret? Tikkun HaZohar. Spreading Tikkun HaZohar. Printing Tikkun HaZohar. Reading Tikkun HaZohar. Studying Tikkun HaZohar. Reading Tikkun HaZohar. Everything has come from there. You want to know what my family is doing? We have 70 Tikkunim. Every year, we divided how many people, how many of us will read what Tikkunim. You want to do it? Order it with Debbie, with my children. They will read it with you if you want. If you cannot read Hebrew, they will read it with you. Everything can be done. But if you really want to change, remember, Shiluach Hakem, when it says, do not send the mother, meaning the idea is to understand when you are into Tikkun HaZohar or Kabbalah, or both, and you don't have to worry because the mother already going to fix you. I hope you heard me today, as this is one of the most important message for you before Rosh Hashanah. But I want to take you into a meditation for the next maybe 5 minutes. We can do it longer a little bit. So why don't you think about the most difficult thing for you to change? Okay? Just sit for 60 seconds and just think about there is one thing. It's only you know about it. Nobody else know about it. You want to change it, but either you're not brave enough, either it's impossible, either you try for so many years and it's not working. One something you even ashamed of it. But you try changing it, it's not working, okay? So think about it for 60 seconds, please. What I want you to do now, I want you to give this one thing that is very hard for you to change a shape. Square, round, 3D, flat. Give it a shape, please, for me. Now take this shape, and I want you to see yourself carry that thing, whatever it looks like, whatever you describe it to your brain, and go to the beach, look at the ocean, look at the sky, and put it, whatever, if it's square, put it in front of you. You're going to sit on the beach, looking at the ocean, and you look at that box, whatever it is. Or a round, or a ball, whatever shape you want to think of it. Remember, negativity is part of the galaxy, it's part of the universe. It's not bad. It just came to do a service to you. So those of you suffering from fear or anger, jealousy, there's a reason why it's in your life. It's to protect you. But you no longer need it. So before Rosh Hashanah, you take that shape that you created. And you give it back to the universe. How do you give it back? You go a little bit deep into the water, and you put it into the water. The water will deliver that jealousy of you or fear for somebody who needs it. Sometimes you need to be afraid because that's what's protecting you from enemy. The ocean will give you a gift that exists in the universe for whatever you need. But to do that, you have to clean first the place where the negativity was inside of you. And to clean that place, you have to see the letters jumping out of Tikkun HaZohar, almost like a mini robot, and cleaning your body. Look at the Hebrew letters, how they're going around your body, and cleaning that place that you empty out the negativity, and preparing room for the gift that you want to receive, as a gift from the Creator. It can be bravery, it could be happiness. It could be always to have joy. Whatever you want to think about. And now whatever you see it coming back from the ocean, or whatever you're going to see it in 1 week, doesn't matter, or in 2 weeks, you're eventually going to see it. It's going to come your way. Because change happens when you inject light into your spiritual work. It's not when you're fighting changing. I know people who are fighting changing for 40 years. What a waste of time. Inject the power of Tikkuni HaZohar, the power of something very powerful, injection, and then that injection will cure a lot of things in you. Otherwise, you're just suppressing the problem. You're not transforming the problem. I want to say thank you for you to join me tonight, today, because without you, I will not have a chance to reveal those secrets. I want to say also thank you personal to whoever was online here. Alara, Jaden, Susan, Cynthia, Sharona, Karen, Marty, Yvette, Des, Linda, Sabrina Sadie, Nancy, Luis, Anna Maria, Catherine, Esther, Andrea, Anna Cristina Vera, Gabriel Daquin, Religian, welcome my daughter is online. Esther, I already say, cannot open all the name here. Camille Goldsmith, Lydia Vega. I think there is name below that I don't know how to do it. It doesn't go up. I tried this page. Marty, Jaden, I think I say that there's some of the names. So I cannot see downstairs. Faye, and all the names that I cannot see because of my technology incapability. Apologize. I hope to see all of you for Rosh Hashanah in the street. Even Debbie warned me that we don't want a lot of people. Still, those of you who want to come and hear the shofar will be only for one day, not first day. First day is on Shabbat. But those of you who want to come, just let us know ahead of the time so we have a room for you. We will not promise that there will be a room for everybody. If there will be a lot of people who come, of course, we're going to rent the place and make sure it will be available. Okay? But we're keeping it small. Okay? And we want to keep you healthy. So stay healthy, stay safe, stay amazing, and the most important, stay full of happiness and joy. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.